Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe for the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She's in Berlin. And Judy and I have both read through an article just published by Foreign Affairs, written by Richard Haass, the distinguished emeritus president of the Council on Foreign Relations, and his colleague, Professor Charles Kupchan, a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, professor of international affairs at Georgetown University, who was in the State Department for the Obama administration. And the article has many moving pieces, but the one I come to immediately is the word ceasefire. Ceasefire in conversation between Ukraine, NATO, and the Russian forces. They're not predicting. They're not saying there's elements to believe that the conversation is already underway. But they're suggesting that there is another road ahead besides maximalist position of recover Crimea and eastern Donbass. Judy, you've read this article as I do, and it's very carefully constructed to suggest, not to order, Ukraine to come to the table. It's not clear in this article that Russia would come to the table, but I ask first your opinion of the way this was presented. It wasn't rough the way the political voices in the Republican Party can sound, rough, saying no more, no more. But it does describe a general feeling in Washington. What is your measure of how Berlin would hear this case of ceasefire?
There's no doubt that Berlin, under this coalition led by Social Democrat Chancellor Scholz, of course, they would like an end to this war or some kind of ceasefire. But I think the language coming out of Berlin, I think it's for two audiences. One is the public language for the Ukrainians and for the German public opinion that supports Ukraine, that Germany is in there for the long haul, that Germany is going to supply it with financial help and military help, which it does enormously already. And I've heard this over the past couple of months, this mention in closed doors with the United States. Well, what are the possibilities of a ceasefire? What are the parameters? How could Kiev deal with a ceasefire? And essentially, what this article really doesn't spell out is the conditions for a ceasefire, conditions which would be very difficult, as I said earlier, for President Zelensky to sell, as in accept that Crimea is lost, accept that the eastern Ukraine is lost. If that's the case, why did you go to war? Why wasn't this negotiated in 2014? Why waiting now in a terrible, terrible year of casualties and destruction and everything else? So I can see where this article is going, trying to prepare more the Ukrainian side rather than a US public opinion to consider a ceasefire. But unless something changed with the high-level visits between Ukrainian officials with their American counterparts over the past couple of days, unless that has changed, it's very difficult to see under what terms Ukraine would go for a ceasefire that would mean actually reneging on the reasons why it went to this war, to regain its territory, to regain its sovereignty, and to get Russia out of the country.
The doubts are enormous about what happens after, even if speculation of a ceasefire is reading here in this country that that NATO's reawakened and that NATO is aware that Russia's an opportunist predator. Mm-hmm. And that haunts the idea of settling with Vladimir Putin. I don't know if that it holds back all of the NATO forces. I don't know if it holds back Germany. But in any event, the day after a ceasefire, which is theoretical, the day after a ceasefire, the rearming of Europe seems to be underway. At least Germany's suggesting it is. Is that the future, Judy?
There's two elements to this question. One is you have to think what would bring the day after strategically, politically, and economically. Will the day after be different? Will President Putin still be in the Kremlin? Will the day after be a shattered, destroyed Ukraine? There are so many elements of the day after, but one has to prepare for the day after, just as we have to prepare for the day after in the war in Gaza. This is the first element. The second element is that NATO is absolutely coherent and united when it comes to the defence of Europe. And they're extremely worried that if there isn't a victory for Ukraine or a ceasefire in Ukraine's favour, that Putin will actually capitalise on this and create even more instability on the eastern flank. This is the problem for Europe, because the stability of Ukraine and the security of Ukraine and the safety of Ukraine and the outcome of this war is essentially about the stability of Europe. And building a new wall between what is now the European Union and NATO and the rest of the countries east of the EU and NATO will actually create more instability and will play into the hands actually of Putin. The Belarus, Moldova, the Ukrainians fighting for their freedom and their democracy, they do not want a new cordon sanitaire. They do not want a new Iron Curtain. They do not want to be part of the regained Soviet space. They want their independence and sovereignty. And I think the Europeans and NATO completely realize this now. Question is, how do they achieve it?
Is there an understanding, we just have 30 seconds, that Germany must take the lead if the US is to back away? Germany must lead, not anyone else?
No, I think this is not going to happen. Germany will lead with other allies. It won't want to do it itself. It will lead with Britain. It will lead with France, the Netherlands, the Poles and the Baltic states. One country leading is not enough. It's got to be a big collective initiative.
Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. She's based in Berlin. Strategic Europe is the publication that comes online right now. Exhaustion is the word on the front lines in Ukraine. For Thanksgiving, I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.